Finding rest in a restless world. People of God, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. There is something really familiar about the people that Jesus is describing in today's gospel, right? Jesus says they're like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We wailed and you didn't mourn. No matter what happens, somebody's being critical and finding fault here. And then John the Baptist comes preaching repentance and preaching simple living out in the wilderness where he's eating locusts and wild honey, right? And people say of him, he's too extreme. And then Jesus comes eating at tables and attending beautiful weddings and sharing meals with tax collectors and sinners. And they say of him, he's too worldly. And so nothing is quite good enough, right, in the gospel lesson for today. And as I read that text, I couldn't help but think Jesus might have been describing us, our generation, our world. We live in a time of such criticism, such angry rhetoric, and it's become a normal for us. You know this, turning on the news, turning on the television, social media, you read the comments beneath the news stories, and we write people and demonize and criticize, and every institution is questioned, and every leader is celebrated as a hero or condemned as a villain. And all that's going on, but I think more importantly, even within ourselves, there's this little constant voice that says, well, you're not enough. Well, you could be doing more. Well, you could have accomplished a bit more. You should have been a better parent, a better spouse, a better child, a better Christian. And wow, this world can be exhausting. People of God. And if we're honest, that exhaustion doesn't come from how busy we are. It comes from the weight that we carry inside. And that's where the gospel in today's lesson takes this remarkable turn. After speaking about those who rejected both John and himself, Jesus begins to suddenly pray and say, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He thanks God because the kingdom isn't reserved for those who think they have all the answers. It is reserved for those who come like children, that are open, that are trusting, that are ready to receive, that are joyful, that are spirit-filled. And this word, receive, is one of the most beautiful words in Lutheran theology, I think. Martin Luther reminded the church again and again that faith is not something we manufacture and salvation is not something we achieve. God's love is not something we earn. Everything begins with God's grace. Before we ever reach for God, God has already reached for us. Before we ever love God, God already has loved us. Before we ever confess Christ, Christ already has given himself for us and risen from the grave for wholeness and salvation. Faith is always receiving what God is already giving, and that is such good news for us as a tired people. Because most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, do spend a fair bit of time trying to prove ourselves, do we not? We want to prove we're successful enough, that we're good enough, that we're smart enough, that we're faithful enough. And sometimes we might even imagine that this is how our relationship with God works. If I pray enough, if I volunteer enough, if I serve enough, then maybe God will be satisfied with me. But Jesus never says, earn my approval. Jesus says something far more wonderful and life-giving. Jesus says, come to me. Not after you figured everything out, not after you fixed your life, not after you've become perfect, simply come. And what an extraordinary invitation that is. Jesus does not invite the strong. Jesus does not invite those who have life altogether. He invites those, he says, that are weary. And that is all of us. Because we are weary. Some maybe for caring for aging parents. Some weary for grieving a loved one. Some weary from uncertainty about the future as we think about the next 250 years of this country. Some weary from loneliness and this loneliness epidemic that is impacting our young people. Some carry burdens no one else can see, be that depression or anxiety or regret or guilt or fear. Others simply tired of living in a world that is increasingly divided and angry. And Jesus sees every single one of those burdens. And Jesus doesn't pretend that those burdens aren't real or heavy. Instead, Jesus says, bring them to me. This is what Jesus promises. He doesn't promise that the problems will disappear. He doesn't promise that the diagnosis will change. He doesn't promise that our relationships will suddenly be restored. He promises something deeper. And he promises that Jesus will give us rest. And this rest that Jesus promises isn't merely a break from the work. See, we in this country are so work motivated. What rest that Jesus is talking about is rest for this soul of ours. It is deep reassurance that our lives are held securely in God's grace, not by our relentless work. It is knowing that our worth isn't measured by our productivity and our to-do list. It is trusting that indeed forgiveness is stronger than guilt, that hope is stronger than despair, that resurrection is stronger than death, and that Christ is stronger than anything we face. This is the promise around which we gather every single Sunday, people of God. When we gather around the baptismal font, when we gather around the table of word and sacrament, we remember that our identity begins with God's promise first in baptism. And then we hear the scriptures proclaimed, and Christ continues to speak into these anxious hearts of ours. And then we come to the Lord's table in our worship together, and we don't receive a reward for being good Christians, let's be clear. We receive the bread and the wine, which is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for us. We come with empty hands, and God fills them. And that is what we Lutherans call grace. That is the gospel. Then Jesus says something surprising. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And at first that sounds contradictory. I will grant you that. If Jesus gives rest, why does Jesus also give us a yoke? Because this thing that Jesus is giving us, this following of Jesus, isn't about escaping the life and the burdens and the realities that are present for us. It is about walking through life with Christ beside us. This yoke was made for two. Jesus never intended for the disciples to carry life alone. Jesus walks with us. He bears the weight of this world with us. And then he teaches us how to live with it. As we follow Jesus in this life of discipleship, we discover that his way of life is very different from the world's. The world might say your value depends on what you accomplish, and Jesus says your value comes from being my beloved child. The world might encourage us to compete, and Jesus says, disciples, you serve. The world might invite us to accumulate, and Jesus says, disciples of mine, I want you to share. The world might say to us, protect yourself first, and Jesus says to us, disciples of mine, you love your neighbor. The world says revenge, Jesus says forgiveness, and nothing that Jesus asks us to do comes naturally to us, but they are possible because Christ is in and through us and walking this yoke with us. And that changes how we live and move in this world that is so weary. And when we know that we are loved without condition, we can keep loving others without keeping score. When we know that we are forgiven, we become people who forgive. When we know that our future rests in God's hands, then we are free to serve our neighbors with courage and with generosity over and again. And that is what vocation means in our Lutheran tradition. God sends us into our homes, into our schools, into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, into our communities, not to earn God's favor with our great works, but because we've already received God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness, and we become instruments of God's mercy in these ordinary places, in this world that God so deeply and profoundly and eternally loves. Sometimes that looks like listening patiently. Sometimes that means standing with somebody who is hurting. Sometimes that means advocating for justice for those whose voices are ignored in our communities. Sometimes it means simply showing kindness in a world that desperately needs kindness shown in it. Christ's love, though, is never meant to end with us once we receive it. It flows through us into the lives of others and into this weary world that God so loves. I know many of you, I know all of us, are carrying burdens that none of us know about. And so I want you, particularly on this Sunday, to hear again the words of Jesus, not as words spoken long time ago, but as words spoken to you today by Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer. Hear again these words to you. Come to me, all who are weary, those carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That invitation, people of God, is why we gather for worship. That invitation, people of God, is why Christ communes and meets us every Sunday in word and sacrament. That invitation is why we leave this place strengthened for another week of service and generosity in this world. Because we don't go alone. The one who calls us goes with us. The one who forgives us sustains us. And the one who gives us rest sends us into this world as bearers of his peace to bring renewal and love and grace and healing and hope and promise into this world that God so deeply loves. Thanks be to God. Amen.